Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Saul. Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach.
What's up?
Congratulations. What a game yesterday.
Wow, what a blast, huh?
Was that a fun environment or what?
Oh, man, it was. And it grew. And it, by the end of the game, the noise at the end of the game on the last drive, that was... It was. It felt like they were punching us. You could feel it almost on the sidelines.
It was loud,
so,
huh?
Yeah, it was so on it. It was really, really a great moment.
What was the week like leading up to that? I mean, you're coming off, as we said, the fourth straight loss, and we had those conversations last week. What was the week like from the time I talked to you until the time you guys finally got out on the field?
Yeah, I would say that this was a little bit different feeling week. I think the stress was up. You know, everybody was stressing, knowing that we had to get it done and all that, and it's a really good team, and they needed to bounce back. I mean, I just felt like there was a tension about it that wasn't bad. It was just a little bit more than normal, and I don't think it had anything to do with the game. You know, I just think that's what the week felt like, and so I think if you felt something, you know, maybe that's what you were sensing.
How about the practice field? How about the actual work this week? Great. And I know it was a little different with Drew and Gino and trying to figure all of that situation out amongst other changes and stuff. What was the practice field and domain like?
Really, that wasn't really the focus of it, but it was it was a terrific week. Wednesday was a great Wednesday. Thursday, we came back flying again. Really, one of the elements of what's happened in the last month is because of the magnitude of the teams we've been playing, the attention and the focus to the practice has been great. I told the guys on Sunday night before the game that we have prepared well enough to be the best we've been all year long, because we've had to be at the very top of our game to get a chance to match up with the teams that have been just high flying. And so I really felt like we had practiced so well again that we should have a chance to play our best football, and I don't know that happened, but that's just been the makeup of these matchups that we've had. So we've benefited from it, and maybe we can cash in on that as we wrap this thing up.
We were saying earlier that it feels, anyway, at least from our perspective, like you have a pretty good understanding for what type of game you're in. That some games are going to be clean, some are going to be kind of mucky and ugly, and you almost coach and play to the style of game that you find yourself in.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where you're getting at, but we're trying to play the same. We're trying to play our game and do the things that we have in our control really well. That's the battle. That's the challenge of the matchups that you come in, the hype of the games and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to play to the moment. So we want to play to what's best for us. And so, I don't know, that's it. So the games dictate differently somewhat. You know, the makeup of their team, their style of play. Philadelphia had a real style about them that was really obvious, and we wanted to make sure that we took advantage of what we could and all that. So we do adjust. We adapt each week to that, but I'm not sure what you're thinking.
Hey, Pete, can you help us understand what went into the decision for Drew to ultimately get the call about, what, 20 minutes or so before the game?
Yeah, let me try to, if you guys are, you know, stewing over this and trying to figure it out, let me just tell you exactly what happened. Gino was not able to go hard in practice during the week because he had tweaked a little bit of something the week before. We just wanted to just save him for as long as we could, give him as much recovery time as possible. So he did a minimal amount of work on the field. Drew took the rest of the bulk of the work. We were led all the way up to game time to use as much time as possible to see how far he could come back. He looked great in pregame. He could throw the ball. He could drop back. We chased him a little bit to try to get him to move a little bit, but he still hadn't had the opportunity to go full speed run and really show it. And all of the trainers and the docs all wanted him to get another week if he could get it. It was a total gut-wrenching conversation because he looked better than we thought he would look in pregame. We just didn't know what to expect. We were hoping. And so he was well enough that he could dress, and if we needed him, he could play. Well, I didn't want to go with, if we had Gino available and maybe we did need him, if we went bang, bang, and the guys got hurt, that was at least we would have him available. And it was really hard on him and because he wanted to play. He worked out hard. He was ready to go, and he wanted to get out there. So it was a gut-wrencher, but we had to talk through it, and we stuck to our guns and protected him. So now he's going to practice all this week, and he'll play in the game, and away we go. And so, But that's all that happened. And with that, I told Drew early in the week, you got to get ready because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, you're starting until you're not. Get your mind ready. You're going to get a bunch of reps, and that's how we went through it. But we still had to call it, you know, after we figured out who was going to be the ups and the downs on the roster, and then we had to call what was going to happen. And I'm thinking in the locker room, I'm thinking, God, we could play Geno now. We could do it, you know, and see what could happen. And everybody, they're looking at me like, you know, don't, you know, it's not the right thing. Give him another week, and he'll be at his best.
Was there anything he could do? I mean, it sounds like there was nothing he could do then to show you that he was ready, right?
Well, he did. I fought it all the way up until then because I want him to play too. I want him to get out there and battle like he, you know, like he wants to. I'm for him. You know, I'm for him to get up. But in the end of it all, that was, the decision was, let's take care of him one more time and see if we can make it through. And if in emergency somehow, he'll just have to go out there and try to, you know, stumble through it. And or not. I mean, he might have done great. But at least we bought him another week, and now he's ready to go. He'll have a full week of prep.
How did he take that decision?
Oh, hard. It was gut-wrenching, really. We're hugging it up, and he felt sick about it. He just didn't understand. He wanted to play. You know, and so I'm saying all this to you, so I want you to understand Geno. He's a freaking warrior, and he would have gone in a heartbeat. I made it through that workout. I can do it, you know, and he's selling his soul to me. But we had to tell him, you know, the hard news. And so, you know, fortunately it worked out. He was awesome about it. It took him a while, you know, to get through it, and then he got back out there and was cheering for Drew and helping him throughout the game, and he was a beautiful competitor in the way that he could.
Yeah, that was a pretty.
That's it. So there ain't no other secrets. Don't think there's some other mysteries behind it. That's what happened. Cut. I mean, that's right to the crutch of what happened here, and so the crux of what happened here, and so on we go.
And pretty cool. I mean, to see him truly, it wasn't just a show. To see him truly celebrating Drew's success.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't but you don't see that a lot, right? I mean, you don't see that at high school levels. You don't see that often at the collegiate level. I mean, you can, but what does that speak to that those two are their biggest fans?
Since Geno has had his chance to play and he came through last year, he has had the opportunity to show who he is. He's a tremendous man and character and spirit and all of that. And he fights himself because he's such a battler at times when he gets, you know, he goes over the top a little bit, but he came back even last night after all of that. He came back and was a great leader on the sidelines and support to Drew. Yeah, everything he does is great. And so I'm so excited for him to come back and play and finish this stretch and see what we can get done here. Whether you feel like it's the right thing or not, I feel, and all of us on this end of it, feel like it worked out. So we were very fortunate.
It's been a while since we've gotten to play any Steve Rabel. And
I
thought today to make up for the last month, and because you seemed so happy last night, you had your hat on backwards, you were excited, I thought we would play you not one, but two Rabel play-by-play cuts, both from the final drive of the game.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to
do this. First here is DK. This is the throw down the sideline to DK Metcalf. Unbelievable play.
A throw downfield. Metcalf out there. Metcalf makes the catch between two defenders.
How about DK and just his ability to show up in these late game final drive situations?
That was so obvious that he was just a dude, man. The catch he makes with the ball on his hip, I don't know what that was. I couldn't even tell. And the move he made on the man under when he shook the guy and catches the ball over the middle, and it's a low ball, and he makes a great catch there. And then the big one on the deep ball, it was fantastic come through. It was. And if you also noticed how disciplined he was about taking the ball to the refs, you know, each time he did it perfectly as we practiced it, I was fired up for him, man. I love seeing him come through.
If you like that call, I think you're going to really like this one.
Okay.
I think.
JSN is wide to the far side. Drew looks, throws that way, got JSN, he reaches up, makes the catch, touchdown, Seahawks, holy catfish. What a throw by Drew Lock! What an over-the-shoulder catch by Jackson Smith and Jigba! And with 28 seconds left, the Seahawks lead 19-17. Oh, my word!
I mean, Rabel's yelling is great, but Wyman's little chuckle sums up the way I think a lot of people felt in that moment.
It was a fantastic moment. It was such a beautiful play and execution by the guys. And the call, when the call's going in, we got a chance to go up top to Jackson, you know. I mean, the stage was set. I had enough time to go tell Snyder on the sidelines, hey, look, here it comes, you know. And it was just the buildup was beautiful, and then for everybody to just go crazy like that, man, it was awesome. And but what was really, really startling to me was the poise that he demonstrated. He came off the sidelines. He was totally, yeah, this is what I do, you know. He wasn't cocky. He was just – he just handled it so well. Like, if we needed him again, he would be ready again. And it just demonstrated the competitor that he is and the confidence that he has in his background and his makeup and all that stuff that makes a guy like that.
As incredible as that finish was, you said after the game, and I was right there with you, Pete, that drive to begin the third quarter was just paramount. To just yes. kind of flip the
drive
energy.
Of the season for me as a drive. That should have been the first drive. That's how we went into the game. Because we got screwed up with the first and 15 and the second and 16, you didn't get to see it. But that's how we had anticipated starting the game. So it wasn't like we changed at halftime. We just went to the plan that we had. And it was so good to see our guys operate like that.
So walk me through it. What did you see on that drive? I know what I love so much from your perspective. Why was it the best drive of the year?
Because of the continuity in the attention to the running game, but it was getting the balls completed off of that. Because once that starts happening, everything gets easier, and it was just like clockwork going down the field. And so it's the rhythm of the commitment to the running game, and yeah. You saw what it does. It sets a command of the game in order that you really now can start to dictate, and that's what it felt like. And then the next drive, we went up top to Tyler and missed him, and then we didn't get enough on second down, and then we missed on third down, and so we went right back to it again the next series to make sure that we featured the running game again, and it just worked out great, you know. So that's what we were shooting for. That's what we've been looking for.
On the other side of the ball, we talked last week about, you know, potentially some changes, et cetera, and it seemed like we saw some personnel changes. What did you make of kind of a new look secondary?
Well, we had a competition at corner during the week. We thought, you know, Mike Jackson had played so well the week before, and, you know, that just felt like it warranted, you know, letting the guys compete. And so they, you know, they're kind of keeping score all through the week, and as things turned out, that was the way the rotation came out. So Trey did a nice job, and Mike did a nice job, and Reek did a nice. They all played well. We're fortunate. Meanwhile, we saw Artie playing for Spoon. Artie did a really good job. He practiced really well, and then he played really well too. He had disguises and all kinds of things he was doing. He blitzed a number of times. I thought he came through in great fashion. He had a couple really good one-on-one shots in there too, which was a big part of the plan. We needed to be a nickel in this game plan, and so because of their receivers and the way they threw it and all that. So Artie came through in a big way. Not having Jamal, obviously you could see that we missed him, and he's a great player for us. We can't wait to get him back this week. These weeks coming up are really big time run weeks for us. We got to make sure we have all of our firepower out there. We took care of him during the week last week, and hoping to help him recover as much as possible. And by game time, you know, we just didn't get enough from it to warrant getting him out there, knowing what's coming up with the short week and all that. So we just took advantage of the recovery, and he'd be ready to roll this week.
You had said to Salk.
Those are the changes, you know.
You had said to Salk last week, and you mentioned, I think, Julian by name, and he's like, they know. I don't mind mentioning by name because they know. And to see Julian respond last night with just two incredible, incredible plays on the ball from the back end of that secondary, how did you see it from your perspective?
Well, he played a great football game. And not just that, his tackling, special teams, everything he did was great. His disguises were exactly on point. He set up some really good plays, a couple tackles he made at the line of scrimmage too. He just had a complete game for us and did a beautiful job of playing all of it. I mean, special teams too, he's all over the place, you know. So that's all. I mean, he's been playing really good football. What he did, he had two picks in practice last week. He had the pick and the turnover that he forced the week before. He's on fire right now, you know. So and a great kid, and he's doing great, and he helped us play a really good football game.
It seemed like that group offered maybe a little bit more physicality on the edge with Mike Jack and Trey Brown. How important was that in this game?
I think they did a really good job on the perimeter screens. That's what you're noting. Really handled that stuff aggressively. We missed, played one with the tight end. But other than that, that was a good factor. That was a big compliment to their running game. That's how they, you know, they go back and forth with their run-to-pass thing. And the guys did a nice job there. So, but that's the competition of it is what's really good. Guys are battling for their playing time. They're fighting for it, and that's You can't ask for more. That's what brings out the best in all of us. And so that's what you saw a result of. And I really praise the coaches for recognizing the chance to challenge the guys a little bit and see if they could, you know, generate a little bit more. And we got a little bit more out of it. So it worked out great.
Hey, Pete, was Jamal in the building?
I think he was home. It was hard on him, you know, and we talked about it and how he was going to deal with it, and he didn't need to be there.
Yeah. It's one of those challenges that just, you know, I think from afar, and certainly, you know, you've said this to me before, like you're entitled to your opinion, and we're opinion-oriented, and we do a show. No, I don't think we always understand the magnitude of how much these guys are hurting. And it just feels like not only physically is Jamal hurting, I mean, just trying to find his place and trying to find.
Oh, this has been so difficult on him. He has not been able to get all the way where he's got everything feeling right. And so we've been working with him all season, at working the recovery versus the, you know, preparation mode, and it's been hard. This is a very, very difficult injury, and he's doing everything he can. He had an extraordinary offseason to get this far, and so we're trying to manage him through it. You know, earlier in the year, we took time and we had a short week. We did it then, too. We're just trying to help him be as powerful and strong as he can be and match up with, as you were talking about, with the game plan. So that, you know, he wants to play. I mean, he and Gino, they went through the similar warrior mentality. You know, they do anything to play. And it's I understand them. I think I feel them so close that it kills me to have to talk to him about stuff when we have to, you know, make those kinds of decisions. But in the long run of it, if we can fight through and use the instincts and the wisdom and all the information that we have, maybe we can make good decisions. I'm not saying we're always right, but I feel him, and you're right. People don't understand on the outside how big a deal this is to these young men, and I'm right there with them and sweating it out and crying it out, whatever it takes to get through these, you know, these times, and it just breaks your heart to see, you know, guys have to miss their chance to play their game because of an injury and an issue. I mean, for Spoon not to play in that game, it killed him to not be able to play, but he couldn't, you know, and so it's going to be hard this week too. He's got an injury that really bothered him, and so we'll see if he can make it back. But it's only because these guys' spirit and heart is so big, and they care so much that it is like that. And so it's just the real. And so we just try to make it through it and hug it through it and get to the next stage of it and bring out our best again. It's a fascinating part of this game that not everybody could ever know, you know, and it's just been really obvious this year. And so I care so much for these guys. I just wish I could help them, you know, make the most of it as they go through it and then come bouncing back and flying back like we're going to see these guys this week. I think it's going to happen, and we'll get a great boost from some great players.
How unique is Drew's personality in a football locker room? He just listening to some of the interviews and listening to him after the game, he strikes me as sounding a little bit different than a lot of the other guys we've seen in that position.
Well, he's got great awareness, you know, and he's got great sense, and I think he's got good people sense, and he's sensitive. He feels guys and relates to people and communicates really well and all that. I thought he expressed himself really well. I saw a couple of the interviews. He expressed himself really well. He's trying to emote and show you what, you know, what he as best he could, and he lost words in there some, as you do, you know, when you, like I always get stuck to, you know. But the guys have really responded well to him. It was kind of a rallying 2 weeks ago, in a sense. That's how we talked about it, and then they rallied again, knowing, you know, they didn't know either what was going to happen, you know, who was going to play and all that stuff. Our guys handled it, and I think part of that happens because they trusted and all, so.
You found your way back onto the field last night. Now, there's a cool little picture.
Kyle, for some reason, we can hear you jumping over there. I don't know why that would be.
Some stock market.
Hey, you know, sometimes we get stock tips here. We got wires crossed. These things happen, Pete. You never know what you might get when you come in to do the show. I also wanted to make sure I asked you, and this is going to sound kind of out of left field, but could you talk for a moment about your punter? Because it sure feels like he is a game changer.
Thanks for bringing that up. 56 yards he averaged. 50 yards he averaged in the net. and came through in such a huge way. Unfortunately, we got that tapping thing that screwed us up. We would have had another great field position change. I mean, when I know that the fans want to go for it on fourth down all the time, but when we're in our minus 40 and Mikey's there, he can do some magic for us and put the ball back inside the 10-yard line and create that something that's always been a way we like to play and count on the defense to come through and use the field and all that. God, it was great. It was just a spectacular night of kicking. Both guys kicked everything just right. So, but that, you know, 56-yard average, man, on Monday night, that's big time.
7-7 now, Pete. You've talked about with Brock. Us over.
I think we've lost Brock. We're having technical issues.
Brock's checking the stock market.
Brock's working on the stock market. We're talking about punters. I guess I'd just ask you then a couple of last things just for to head into next week. One, it sounds like for Witherspoon, it's going to be a tough one for him to get back.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't know. And he might make a big flip right here. Because we understand the injury and all that. He's really been hurting. I was surprised he could celebrate as much as he did, yeah. You know, because he's been hurting so much. But anyway, we'd love to get him back.
Jamal, as you said, it was a tough one. Do you think that he'll be ready to go next week?
I think this is going to maximize his chance to finish his season. I think he's going to be ready to crank it up. And this is a hard-nosed, physical, running football team. Mm-hmm. We need him. So I hope he feels good about it.
And then what do you expect practice reps to look like between your two quarterbacks this week?
Gino's going. I think he showed us that he can go until he can't. You know, right now we'll try to build up some endurance and some, you know, just some stability in his movements and stuff. He needs that. He's not had a lot of time. Usually we have to work the guys back in. This would have been just play, you know. So that's why it kind of went against the grain. So this week will be great for him, and Drew will be ready to go. They'll both be cranked up about it. I know you'll see Drew. He'll flip it and support the hell out of Gino, getting him ready too. So it'll be cool to see that.
Pretty darn cool. Coach, sorry about the technical issues. We're going to go pay our bills and make sure that we have the electricity and everything else turned on for next week. Have a great holiday. Congratulations
Rabel,
on
More
a big
Rabel.
Win. Hey, keep winning. We'll play as much Rabel as you want. We'll do it next week. That's Coach Carroll's show. We got to get out of here for Brock Heward. The hay is in the barn. See you, everybody.